I'm John Lemley with you for today's City Cafe. Wynton Marsalis is in town this week in Atlanta performing with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra as part of the National Black Arts Festival. Marsalis is a trumpeter, composer, teacher, music educator, and artistic director of jazz at Lincoln Center. He has spent much of his life furthering the art form of jazz. He recently spoke to our own Valerie Jackson, host of In Conversation, and she began by asking him about the theme for this Friday's concert at Atlanta Symphony Hall.
Yeah, we're going to be playing a lot of our modern music and music of members of our orchestra. A lot of times we come to Atlanta, we play at the Symphony Hall. It's like coming home because we have a lot of members who are based from Georgia who are based in Atlanta. And it's always festive and soulful. We always have a great group crowd of people who want to come and check it out, and the band is always excited.
I want to touch back just a little briefly to your childhood. You're part of a truly remarkable family of outstanding musicians and artists. Your father, Ellis, is the patriarch of the clan, and he's played and taught jazz for 60, 70 years maybe. What type of father was he?
He's very easy. He's very humble. We're struggling because, you know, jazz musician trying to play real jazz, they couldn't make money. And I learned more watching him and going to so many gigs with him. It'd be five and six people in the club, 10 people, people talking over him when he was playing. He always played with integrity, and he was always, he was just watching him, I understood the music was something special. And of course, as a youngster, I didn't like the music. I liked what was on the radio. When I got into high school, my brother and I played in the funk band, and we had many more people and could even make more money than him night to night, as great as a musician as he was. But he never gave up. And the main thing I learned from him is that my father was the least judgmental and prejudiced person I ever met. And this was in the late 60s, 70s, coming out of the civil rights movement, a lot of strife between black and white folks. You know, we all had our afros and we was black power and all of that. I could see my daddy many times in just all black environment going against any kind of thing that was racist or anything that had something to do about anti-white people. He hated for you to talk, lump people into a group. So if you would say they all, or he would say, man, who is they all? Right. And then he would say, all of everybody never does anything. And so I learned like the kind of philosophy of the jazz musicians from watching him and the other cats and the type of depth of intellect and soul that they had.
With such a strong New Orleans jazz heritage, I'm also curious as to what attracted you to classical music.
Mainly because of growing up with my father, and he was not prejudiced against forms of music. He would say, check stuff out. And I met a guy on a streetcar in New Orleans, a college student, gave me a record of Maurice Andre's, great classical trumpet player, and he just gave it to me. He saw I had a trumpet case. He said, you a trumpet player? I said, yeah, man. He said, man, check this record out. I went home. I was reading the liner notes, and it said that Maurice Andre's parents were coal miners. I thought, man, somebody's parents was coal miners, and he ended up playing classical trumpet. I got to hear this. So I put it on, the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, and I started wondering, I wonder if I could play like this dude. So I started to learn it off the record, because then we just learned everything off of recordings. Mm-hmm. And I started to research about him and the music, and then I've heard there was a concerto competition for New Orleans Philharmonic to play Haydn Trumpet Concerto. It was the same piece that this guy, that Maurice Andre had played. So I entered it, and I won. I didn't think I was going to win, but I did.
This year, about 13 or 14, right?
I think the competition, it was held when I was 13, and I played when I was 14. Or it was held when I was 14, I played when I was 15. But then I started to become a fan of the music. I listened to Beethoven's music. I joined the Civic Orchestra. A friend of mine called me. It was on a Monday night. I remember because Monday Night Football was on. And he said, man, come down here with this orchestra. I'm the only brother down here. We're playing this classical music. I said, man, my Monday Night Football is coming on, man. He said, no, man, come down here. It was in the Jewish Community Center, which was next to a high school that I was attending. I was attending De La Salle High School. I went down there, and the newscaster was playing timpani. I said, man, this has got to be sad if the newscast is playing, the weatherman is playing timpani. But then I looked at, you know, all the adults there playing. I thought, wow, you know, it's interesting. All these people come here and sit in this room and play classical music. It was an interesting civic thing. And I sat down with him, and we were playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. We were mutilating it. I mean, it didn't resemble Beethoven's Fifth so much, but just the earnest way that people were trying to play it, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I started to take in what it was about Beethoven. He wrote this music, then it's this, and then I went home. I started getting books on Beethoven. I started researching them. I read this book, Thayer's Life of Beethoven. And I went on from there, just really getting into the music.
By the time you were 8, you were performing in jazz bands and winning classical competitions at 14. So did you have any especially fond memories of those teen years?
No, I worked through my teen years. I played in the funk band. We played a lot, 4 or 5 gigs a week. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of equipment. We played top 40 music, you know, whatever was popular, a lot of Earth, Wind & Fire, a lot of Parliament Funkadelic, some James Brown, Marvin Gaye, that kind of music. We had one of the dumbest names ever, Killer Force and the Crispy Critters. We played lounge gigs. We were playing. I played parades. If there'd be a parade on the weekend, I would go play in a parade. I played. I had the opportunity because I was in New Orleans to play a wide range of music. So I look back on that. But I was also just working all the time. And right. I always had a lot of homework. I went to a really difficult school.
Making excellent grades, I might add.
Yes, so. Ma'am. I did a lot of work, but I would bring my homework to my gig. Sometimes I'd be playing in wild clubs or something that was kind of like the Dream Palace or the Absinthe Bar, something late at night. And I was 15 or 16. I always bring my work with me. Cats would tease me. But I'd go in the back and do my homework in my hour break. And then sometimes I'd get home at 1, 2 in the morning. My mom was always cool about it because, you know, my daddy and that type of lifestyle.
Right. Well, with all of the new technology, has the fabric of jazz changed?
No, technology can't change the fabric of an art form. Like the fact that Beethoven wrote for a piano didn't change the fabric of the art. It's now what he would write is played on the piano. At a certain point, he got to the point where he said, I'm only writing for strings or for the human voice. And Bach, technology changed. He was writing music. He didn't even use the keyboards and the things that were available. And I think that, you know, you can add other instruments, you can do different things. But because the technology of the human soul has not changed that much, the technology of our art form, does the way people converse, the substance of what their conversations are about, has that really changed in centuries?
I've heard you say that, I believe that you've said, jazz is a kind of democracy. Explain that.
Well, we have the rights to improvise and to make up what we have the right to choose what we want. Our forms are malleable, like our constitution can be adjusted. It's constant checks and balances, like the bass is the softest instrument, the drum is the loudest. The two of them have to play on every beat and they have to negotiate each other. Mm-hmm. We have forms of dialogue and conversation, like riffs means the same thing repeated over and over again until either you get your point or you stop doing it. But we have a lot of responsibilities, like the responsibility of playing in balance, playing with your section leader, making intelligent decisions, being informed about the form and all the things that can help you to make a better decision about the flow of the music. So we're mutually creating, but we have the responsibility to understand what it is that we're creating as we make it.
Do you think in today's climate it's any easier or harder or more difficult for a young musician to succeed?
It's always uphill. You have to prove that you want to be out here. There are very few spots. There's a lot of misinformation. And you have to go through all the misinformation. Are you one of the few who can understand that you've been misinformed and miseducated? Can you survive your group and the desire and need to be popular? Can you survive philosophically the prevalence of just kind of reductive philosophies? Can you maintain your integrity and your hopefulness and optimism when you're surrounded by darkness? Can you struggle through not selling the type of tickets or not getting the type of audience response you want? Can you deal with your social life and maybe your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend or whoever it is not at all interested in the type of music you choose to play but likes things that everybody else likes? Can you survive critical ignorance and the type of attack that you will come under? Can you find other musicians to play with who are of equal mind and are willing to sacrifice to reach the level of excellence that you have to achieve to garner an audience in this type of difficult climate? Can you survive the backlash that comes from presenting an opinion, the truth as you perceive it, if it is not what the status quo everyday thinking is? Can you continue to develop and grow on your instrument in obscurity? Can you recruit people to the cause of playing the music? Can you? It's a bunch of can yous, and they don't stop.
Wynton Marsalis talking with WABE's Valerie Jackson. Wynton Marsalis will be in Atlanta this Friday performing with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, part of the National Black Arts Festival. This interview is an excerpt from the program In Conversation. We have a link to that full program and information on the NBAF at wabe.org/citycafe.